All right, welcome back to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I'm Scott Keller along with Steve St. Pierre, and we have hit week 12 of the NBA season. I don't know. I think I'm just going to start jumping into some fun stuff. I don't have anything specific right off the top here, but I did. We keep trying to get guests on this podcast. We would love it if we could get a guest on this podcast. Doesn't have to, it could be of any, it could be super famous or not. I don't care. It's just basketball related, right? So we keep reaching out to a lot of people and not really having any success here. But one of the people I just recently reached out to, mainly because he was in the news and you've probably seen it if you haven't, Luke Kornet of Boston Celtics during the Celtics Pacers game. I can't remember the date now, but earlier this week, he was at the free throw line. Actually, I think that was the game that Jaylen Brown got fouled, not fouled at the end, blah, 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 all that stuff. But he was at the free throw line and he hit his first free throw. And I don't know where this comes from or where it stems from. And he looked over at the bench and like Jason Tatum, everybody's sitting on the bench right there. And he kind of stepped aside after he made the first free throw and like raises his hands. I put the video on Twitter. if I didn't retweet it, I'll retweet it though. I at least bookmarked it. So he did that. And then he goes, hits the second one and he starts running backwards and he does the ice in my veins. After he hit the free throw, it was one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. So I was like, and the guys on the bench are all cracking up, going nuts. So I was like, okay, that guy seems kind of funny. And I feel like he would be fun to talk to. So I went down this rabbit hole and I decided, I was like, oh, I'll just tweet him. I'm like, hey, that'll be great. I'll send it out. I was like, that'd be the shit, you know, if we could get Luke Kornet on the podcast. And then I found out, I tried to do some research on him. I want to know a little bit more about him. And it turns out that his dad is a former player, a basketball player. Then his mom actually, so he went to Vanderbilt as well. So they're from the Tennessee area. His mom is like a local news anchor, in Nashville. So I added a tweet on there too. And I was like, hey, you know, maybe he'll listen to you. Maybe you can convince him. So I tweeted,
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. So I tweeted him and his mother. Obviously no response at all. But what's also funny from that, before I go way too far off subject here, is that some weird handle on Twitter. I was like, maybe it's fake. I don't know. It's got the numbers at the end of the name, so that's usually fake for us, right? But this guy responds and he goes, I don't think he'd ever do a podcast. He's a snob. Plus, he's hateful towards trans people. So that's out. And I was like, that doesn't sound like a real person.
Funny, but not funny.
Exactly. So I responded to him and I was like, so you've met him? What makes you say these things? And absolutely no response. So anyways.
Crickets.
Whatever. I would still like Luke Kornet to go on the podcast if you'd like to. So if you want to, we'll definitely talk about some basketball.
And anything else you want to discuss.
Exactly. I also found out, so his sister too, I think he's got a sister and a brother, but sister played college ball at like UCLA and somewhere else. I can't remember now. And then she actually has some acting credits as like a side, an extra or whatever. And she was in like Space Jam, the newer Space Jam movie. She was in Hustle. she's got an IMBD and she's in it. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. It was a rabbit hole I fell down, but yes.
Luke, yeah.
Come on, talk some basketball with us.
Let's go.
In life. Anyways, let's see. So what was I going to say?
So was that part of our first thing or?
No, it's not. Okay, first thing's cool. Coming up.
Sounds good.
I was going to say, it will be right here. I just want to say, because this kind of flows in here. So I'm going to mention the schedule thing. We talked, I'm just going to get ahead of this. Next week, Bucks and Kings only have two games next week. So take note of that. And we also mentioned last week that there was only one game for the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We assumed it was for an international game and we were correct. So they are in Paris. Is that today? I think. I believe on the 10th, I believe they're in Paris here.
The Clippers only go twice next week as well.
Oh man, I missed one. Cool.
I got your back.
Thanks for clarifying and getting that. So anyways, they're playing in Paris and then this is where the first thing comes in. So here's then bring in.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So, yes, for the first thing here, they're in so Cleveland is in this game, and Tristan Thompson is playing in this game. So they decided over this time that they would announce that Tristan Thompson has become a global ambassador for the Special Olympics. And this kind of connects with Special Olympics in Paris, as well as Ohio and another country. Maybe it's, I can't remember what it was, Mexico or something like that. Nonetheless, he joins some other current and former NBA and WNBA players. I didn't actually know any of these people were global ambassadors as well for the Special Olympics. And that's the Suns' Devin Booker, obviously Andre Drummond with the Bulls, Damian Lillard, Elena Deladon with the Mystics, and then also former NBA player Ricky Rubio, which I did not know, which we just talked about. Obviously, he was in the news recently. Yep. Dikembe Mutombo, Sam Perkins, and Yao Ming. So he officially kicks off his ambassadorship with a week of inclusion-focused events with the Cavs and Special Olympics France to celebrate the Paris game this week.
That is awesome.
So, with that said, yeah, Special Olympics are awesome, and I'm adding that onto my list of places I need to donate if I could win some bets. I'll talk a little bit about not winning bets here after this first thing. So I haven't been able to donate anything in a minute, but yeah, no, Special Olympics is awesome. You know, obviously, inclusive world, and it's a step towards an inclusive world, having people with disabilities and all types of abilities being able to play sports, and the impact that extends further just from sports and into the world. So,
yeah, you know, I've talked on here about how I work with kids who have autism, and I'm constantly, you know, encouraging them to, you know, play sports, be active. I deal with elementary school kids, so really young kids now, so it's a little bit harder. But, you know, I talked about how last year I was at a middle school, and so, you know, teenagers, it was really easy to get them, you know, hey, go out and, you know, try out for the team. And if you don't make the team, you know, go play some rec ball, you know, go do something, stay active. And, you know, hey, whatever I can do to help you with that, more than happy to.
So, yeah, and then I also, I reached in a little bit further in the bag and found that, so Tristan Thompson, obviously, background, obviously, everybody I think knows him. He's Canadian, born in Ontario, won the championship with Cleveland Cavs in 2016. Drafted in 2011, he was actually the highest drafted Canadian-born player at that time. And then we know a couple of years down the road came, going blank. Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins, right? They were both Canadian as well.
Yep.
And they were number one picks. Yes. Yeah, that's correct. And
also then, by Cleveland.
Yeah, I did not put that together. Interesting. So that's a good connection. So he got drafted by the Cavs, played 9 years with the Cavs, won that championship. And then after that, bounced around Celtics, Kings, Pacers, Bulls, Lakers. And then found his way back with the Cavaliers, and that's where he's at right now. And then I bet a lot of people also know him from his relationship with Khloe Kardashian, which actually I just saw something when I Google searched his name to look up some research for this first thing, and it looks like they may be actually getting back together even after his cheating days. Hopefully they're behind him.
We're
not going to talk about that. Focus on the positive here. I think that does it. Tristan Thompson, do awesome things. He's got the background, which is cool. A little experience. I think it always helps when you have experience with some things to do things, except podcasts. I think if you have experience playing in the NBA, you're not as well off doing a podcast. I think we do a better job.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Anyways, yep. And so I think that does it for the first thing. I guess the last thing, I'm just going to keep going Canadian related here a little bit. We actually had our friendly neighbors from the north love Canada. There's actually just today, I went on our Twitter and there's a podcast called Canada's Court, hosted by, let's see, who is this? I'm going to read it. Philip Drost. Sorry. Senior writer for CBC Radio. I did not know that. So I just looked it up right now. Avid sports watcher, Hoopshead. Maybe this guy. That's who we're going to find. We're going to target this guy. Hopefully we can chat with him here sometime in the following days or weeks of this podcast. That'd be cool.
Let's go, man. That'd be awesome.
So, yeah. So we'll have to check him out. I think that's it for the beginning stuff for me. It was pretty quick. I forgot one thing. I had to mention this. I forgot to mention it last week. We were out, I think it was when we recorded the Hoop Fever.
Yeah.
And you had, we were talking there and you were talking about how one of your favorite things I did was relating, you know, Roto to yes. and head to head and relating Roto to climate change. I agree. I'll pat myself on the back. It was pretty good.
It was hilarious.
But I was,
go back and listen to our Fantasy 101 if you don't know what we're talking about.
Exactly. It's in there. So I have an NBA League pass, and I get to watch a lot of the Sacramento Kings, and mainly because obviously you get to the late games and there's, you know, you yeah. pretty much only have three to watch. So I watch a lot of Sacramento games, and I love it because I get to listen to the wonderful Katie Christensen, and a lot of the time get to listen to her with Mark Jones, which
excellent combo.
Yep. So fantastic combo. But anyways, I can't remember what game it was, but
he's Canadian too.
There we go.
Mark Jones.
It's an all Canadian episode here. So yeah, Mark Jones, he was talking about De'Aaron Fox. He had been out of the game. He came back in the game. I think Sacramento was getting crushed at this time, whatever game this was. I can't remember. It was last weekend. But he goes, De'Aaron Fox is like climate change. He can change the temperature in a hurry. But obviously, he says a lot cooler than that because Mark Jones is awesome. But I just thought it was great that the great Mark Jones compared something in the NBA to climate change as well as I did. So.
And I'm going to go ahead and say that he's welcome to come on the pod, too, if he's got some time.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Katie Christensen actually sent a thing to a long time ago. I think she liked it or something or responded. She didn't respond. I think she just liked it. But
whatever. We're putting it out there. So
yeah.
If anybody hears this, you know, hit us up and we'll go from there.
There you go. And then the last thing, just personal betting news. Like I said, I haven't been able to donate to anybody. It sucks. I've been losing bets by one, one stat left and right of props. And just last night, for example, I was LA was playing Toronto Raptors. And I had like a 8-leg parlay going into the fourth quarter. All I needed was 3 points from Siakam, 2 points from LeBron, and a rebound from Siakam.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam did not get one rebound in the fourth quarter of that game. Unbelievable. So stuff like that keeps happening. And I've started turning my attention now to more sophisticated betting strategies like middle betting and arbitrage bets. So I'll see how that works out. It's interesting. I love keep researching and looking into more of the betting strategies.
Good deal.
But yeah, I think that's all I got here to start us off. But I know you've got, like I said, a ton of stuff, injuries, news, notes. And I think
it was a busy week.
Yeah. You want to just hop into it or you want to break real quick?
Let's take a break.
Let's do it. Talk to you on the other side.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
All right, we're back. And as mentioned before the break, a lot of information for us to go through. So I'm just going to throw it over to Steve and get this going.
Yeah, we had really shitty week in terms of injuries, just a lot going on. Seems like a lot of point guards, especially, just went down with all kinds of injuries. So we'll start with the biggest one, Ja Morant. This is really bad news. Obviously, he's had a rough year. We talked all about the suspension and stuff, but he has a torn right shoulder and he's having season-ending surgery. So his brief comeback here this year, you know, just didn't last very long. And obviously it sends the Memphis Grizzlies in a completely different direction. So a lot of their other main players, you know, now, you know, the Grizzlies, they talked about maybe being a buyer in this upcoming trade market. And now I think they're going to be selling off because you got to figure, you know, with no Ja Morant, and they're already so far behind in terms of the standings that they're going to probably be, you know, if maybe not necessarily selling off, but in terms of fantasy, you're going to be really concerned about like the rest of their veteran guys. You know, if you own Jaren Jackson Jr., even Desmond Bane to an extent, yep. And then Marcus Smart, who I'm going to get to next here, he's dealing with a right hand injury. He's getting an MRI to determine if there's any ligament or tendon damage. We don't know if he's going to, you know, wind up having to miss time, and if so, how much. But you have to figure if there's anything, or if he's even just sore, you know, they're going to probably just sit him down, because at this point, they're going to probably be shifting into tank mode and looking more towards the future. So.
No, I very much agree. I mean, I actually, even when they got Ja back, wasn't very high on them getting that far, but I thought maybe getting to the play-in, right? I think that's about expectation when he was back. And you can see the leap they made once he came back.
Absolutely. We talked about it. We talked about the huge winning streak they went on. And, you know, obviously he was saying and doing some stuff he shouldn't be doing to, like, kind of celebrate that. But, you know, besides all that, like, what he was doing on the court was a huge improvement. You know, and like you said, completely turned the team around. And now, you know, roller coaster, they're going to go back down. So, yeah, it's going to be tough if you own any of those guys in fantasy. But on the flip side, and we'll get to ads later, but, you know, I keep talking about Luke Kennard. I think he's an ad now, because I think he's not only going to be, you know, playing and hitting a lot of threes and scoring in bunches, but he's going to be doing some other stuff too. So if you do, you know, nine cat season long fantasy, he has a lot more value now than he did a week ago. So
I was say, we saw the return of Xavier Tillman as well. And
yeah, he's another one.
I actually owned him at the beginning of the year. I picked him up really early, and then obviously he got injured. But even just last night on January 9th, he had 14 and 11 and two blocks. So he looked great the other day in Dallas.
Yeah.
So he's another guy that should be on your radar for sure.
Absolutely. That's a great call. Just a side note, I was talking to my buddy Bill, our buddy Bill. We were talking about an idea of the Pistons calling them and seeing if they would like Killian Hayes. I think this would be a good opportunity to maybe get a guy like Tillman, or, you know, Santi Aldama or somebody like that off their roster, you know, if they had any interest in taking a flyer on Hayes, you know, just getting a look at him, you know, get some point guard help. I don't know.
I think that's exactly true. I think it's a very good point. And it's weirdly enough, I think that's a point that I saw Vespers talk about this the other day about, I'm getting a little off subject, but this for some odd reason made me think of that. But he was talking about, I know you're going to get into this, but the Tyrese Halliburton injury and how people do dumb things when they start losing players, picking up other players like TJ McConnell, who they're going to replace with them, and they end up dropping valuable players that they could actually use. So it's a fantasy related way. I think that works here with the Memphis Detroit thing that you were just talking about, that you were talking with Bill. Because I think that, yes, you can get some quality players, you know, out of a team that's squandering and going back down. So, yes.
Yeah, I love it. Very good point and perfect segue because, yeah, next on my list, of course, is the Tyrese Halliburton news. He has a strained left hamstring. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So, again, we'll get to ads, you know, kind of more in depth, but pretty much everybody on the Pacers in their rotation, everybody's worth at least a look. Because obviously everybody's usage is going to go up just across the board. So, you know, if you're streaming and stuff, you know, anybody is an option at this point. You mentioned McConnell, Neesmith. We've talked all about him.
Neesmith, I picked up last week. McConnell, I picked up this week.
Yeah. Andrew Nembhard, if he's healthy, he's going to have value. So, but yeah, we'll get more into that in a little bit. And then
that injury was so weird, by the way. I keep watching it over and over again. And I'm like, I mean, I've slipped and like, I see like kids slip and stuff all the time, do weird stuff. And I know like it hurts and you're like, ah, what did I do? Like, and it kind of smarts for a little bit, but I mean, he got carried off the court. That was kind of weird.
It was weird, but I mean, that was a huge split, you know, like if it, I'm just saying like, if it was me, I don't think I would have gotten up either. So, but I'm in a little bit different shape than he is. So I don't know. Hard to tell. Really hard to tell. But
yeah.
In any case, yeah, he's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks. And, you know, we've talked all about him. He's got, you know, he runs the show for that team. So with him out of there, yeah, everybody's value is going to go up just across the board. Now, on the flip side to that, you know, like you said, you don't want to reach for some of these guys. You don't want to drop anything of value to try to get somebody that, you know, maybe can have some short-term value. But at the same time, like, how competitive are these games going to be? You know, for these people that are running out and grabbing McConnell, that's great. But like, what happens if they get blown out every game and then McConnell's only playing 20 minutes or something like that? Then, you know, he might be doing okay in those minutes, but you're passing up on a guy that maybe could be playing closer to like 35, 40 minutes and having more.
I think I grabbed McConnell just under the, well, one, I have people that became injured. So I have people on IL, and IL plus I had an open spot. I had an open roster spot. Also, they're playing Washington today here on the 10th. So I'm like, why not take that flyer rate for at least one day? Yep. So he may not be a guy that I hold on to, but yes, I'm going to grab him a couple days and see what happens while I've got the open spot.
And I'm not saying don't add him. But I agree with you, and I agree with what Dan Vesper said, that like, you just have to be careful about what you're giving up when you add these players. If it's a situation where you've got an open roster spot and you're just taking a flyer, that's perfect. That's what you want to do. But if you're actually dropping somebody to add these guys, you got to be real careful about, you know, who you're dropping.
And just because that's where you just watch the transaction wire and see somebody doing a stupid move like that and swoop up whoever that person gives away. Like, that's
exactly
a good place to look at it.
And we've talked before about like all these panic drops that people do, and you just have to think long term. You know, even when somebody's struggling, you got to like look and think about their situation that they're in. And you know, we keep talking about Ausar Thompson of the Thompson Twins.
Hold me now.
And you know, he's a perfect example of what I'm saying here. That like, you know, I'm holding on to him because, you know, long term, the Pistons aren't going anywhere. They keep trying all these different players, and eventually they're going to go back to him. He's a first round pick.
Well, I know when they're going back to him. It's a Thompson Twin bobblehead day coming up. Bobblehead night. He's playing that night, and he's playing more minutes than he usually does. I guarantee it.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, we're going to talk about a Pistons injury coming up here in a little bit too. So, I mean, that's going to only add to his value even more, and that's just one example. So, but anyways, let's get back to it here. A guy we've been talking about a lot lately, Joel Embiid. He's still dealing with a swollen left knee. He's now going to miss a second straight game. Well, actually, I think his injury before was something different. I can't even remember. He's just had so many injuries. It's just the point is, I'm really, really concerned about this guy. He's breaking down. He's had an incredible season. We've talked all about it, and I don't want to take anything away from that. Statistically, he's the man, and you know, I love him, but he's breaking down, and I'm really concerned about it. I think if you own him at this point, just roster Paul Reed, you know, and again, perfect, you know, discussion about, you know, what we were just saying, using your last roster spot, you know, correctly, smartly, you know, making moves that are going to help you long term, not just short term. And, you know, in general, I don't think I recommend handcuffing too much in fantasy basketball, but I think if you have Embiid at this point, you should not only, you know, own Paul Reed, but I think you should just keep him on your roster. Like, just find a way to keep him on there if you can and use him when he's playing. And we talked about how he's been pretty solid even when Embiid's in the lineup. He still plays, you know, 15, close to 20 minutes per game, and that's enough to still get you some value, you know, across the board. Sure. I mean, I'm talking about like defensive stats. You know, he hits threes. He does the little things to help you out in nine cats. So you could do a hell of a lot worse with your last roster spot there. So, yeah, I'm really concerned about him. And when he's healthy, he's great, but you know, he's breaking down. So you just got to be really careful. And then they have some other injuries too. I think we talked about De'Anthony Melton a little bit last week. He's been dealing with some back soreness. Mm-hmm. He has missed 3 straight games. Sounds like he could return tonight, January 10th. But last I saw, he was still being listed as questionable. So we'll have to see. And then a guy we've talked about a lot, a guy who I just love, Robert Covington. He's, you know, kind of past his prime at this point. He just hasn't had the opportunities. He's dealing with a swollen left knee right now. He's going to miss his 4th straight game. He's not really a guy you can roster in fantasy anymore, unfortunately. I mean, we've talked about it. When he plays, he's awesome. But, you know, he dealt with it on the Clippers last year, and he's going through it now in Philly. He's just not getting minutes. And when he does, it's just here and there. You know, it's not enough to be relevant in fantasy, unfortunately. But he's a guy that I definitely just want to mention. And with him being out of there, it's more opportunities for some of the other guys. You know, if Melton winds up missing another game, then guys like Kelly Oubre Jr. are going to benefit from that. Obviously, Tyrese Maxey should with the usage. But then again, we talked about how defenses now can focus more on him and make it more difficult. So,
yeah, no, we saw that earlier this year. That hadn't worked out too well in his favor.
So. Yeah. And then, you know, Tobias Harris, guys like that, you know, I think in the short term it helps them. But again, like long term, you know, if Philly starts losing games or, you know, if the defenses are adjusting and making it tougher for them, you know, that could turn out to be a detriment to your team. So you just got to watch it and be careful and be aware of all of these situations.
I was going to say, going back real quick to that Paul Reed situation, I thought through that a little bit further. You had talked about not recommending handcuffing, and I agree the same thing. But I think the way to go would be like I don't think you're technically handcuffing if you only have him on your roster when you have Embiid in like an IL or an IL plus spot. I don't know if that would really technically be handcuffing because
actually that's a great point. I think if you're talking about IL, then you do want to roster those next guys. You know, if it typically, if you have a guy who gets hurt and they immediately become eligible to go on your IL, then you typically will just pick up the next guy who's going to, you know, benefit from that.
Exactly.
And I don't really consider that handcuffing, but I guess it could be if you like kind of prepare for that, you know, like if somebody's day to day, but like they could miss more time. So you go ahead and just get their backup because you have an open spot or you do drop somebody, but it's somebody that doesn't really have a lot of value to you, then, you know, every situation's different. Every league's different, but these are all things to think about and consider. So
exactly.
Another guy who we keep talking about, Jimmy Butler. We mentioned him last week. He's dealing with both a strained left calf and right foot irritation. He's going to miss his 6th straight game. Basically consider him out indefinitely at this point. You know, when he comes back, we'll tell you all about it. But until then, I don't think you can really count on him. He's older now. You know, he misses time all the time anyways.
I mean, this is probably not too hot of a take, but I don't think they're any better or worse without Jimmy Butler. I think they're pretty much the same team. I think they've been able to fill his void. I think the only difference is, because we talk about it every year, playoff Jimmy.
Yeah.
So when you get into playoff time, maybe you feel it a little bit more, especially
especially that team,
the youth or something in the place. But I mean, they're not missing. They're 6-4 in their last 10. I mean, they're still in the 5 spot in the East. I don't think they're moving from that spot. I think they're going to, this reminds me a lot of last year, the way the East is kind of shaping up.
Yep.
Where like the top is the top and it doesn't really move. 4-5 was Heat Knicks. And guess what 4-5 is right now? Knicks and Heat. Yeah, yep. Like it's almost identical to last year. The only difference is the bottom's a little bit different, like Orlando.
Yeah.
It's like that. But
I think if I'm not mistaken, Miami wound up falling a little bit towards the end. But again, like they're a team, it doesn't matter what seed they are. They'll always have a chance come playoff time to compete. And, you know, again, Heat culture. And again, too, you know, we do have the trade deadline coming up, so we'll have to see what moves they make, if any. And in any case, I totally agree. I think they're just proving that they can take their time with Jimmy Butler during the regular season.
And may I add, proving that Coach Spo earned that multi-million dollar richest coach in history.
Yeah.
We'll trade that one for Amani if they want. Just straight up, maybe.
I don't know. Good luck with that.
Better luck next year.
Better luck next year.
So, Orlando, the Magic, they're going through a lot right now. Franz Wagner, we mentioned him briefly last week. He sprained his right ankle. He's missed three straight games, but there hasn't really been too much of an update on that. So I'm going to go ahead and say right now he's still day to day. And, you know, we'll keep you updated on that. My boy, Jonathan Isaac, that kind of ability with either hand. It's impressive. Yeah. I talk about this guy every single week. And he's still out. He's dealing with the strained right hamstring. We mentioned it last week. He has missed nine straight games, but I still think if you've got an open spot, an open IL spot, just grab this guy and stash him because he has value. He has upside. And, you know, at any point, you know, if Wagner's injury is deemed too serious for him to come back, they could give more minutes to Isaac once he's ready to go out there. He's also a guy who could get traded. And if he goes to the right team in the right situation, then to me, he's a must-own guy, especially in Nine Cat. We've talked all about him. He does so much across the board. So he's a guy that I'm excited to just, you know, roster and see what happens. And then some good news for them, though. Markelle Fultz, he was out, like we said, for 2 months with the left knee tendonitis, but he did return on January 7th. He's really got a minutes limit here. He's coming off the bench. They're going to treat him with kid gloves here for a while. He's a guy that right now, I think in fantasy, he's going to be tough to roster because I just don't think the minutes are going to be there. But we know what he can do if the minutes ever ramp up, you know, and he's a huge assist guy. He's a potential steals guy. You know, he's a perfect guy to stream if you're in a head-to-head league and you're looking for those stats late in the week, especially if they play on like a Sunday. He's a guy to kind of target in those situations. But other than that, I don't think you can really roster him right now, but just put him on a watch list, keep a close eye on him, and be ready to strike, you know, if his minutes wind up increasing.
Yeah.
And then we talked a lot about the Chicago Bulls last week. So Nikola Vucevic, he was out with the strained left groin, but he did wind up returning January 5th. And you call this, he's been playing as a reserve. He's been coming off the bench behind Andre Drummond. You know, Drummond's been really good. And like you said, you know, they're setting themselves up to maybe make a trade here. So I say just roster all these guys. Vooch is playing really well as a reserve. Yep. The minutes are still there. The numbers are there. The minutes aren't quite what we're used to with him, but they're close enough to where he's providing, you know, top value. And so, yeah, he's looked great.
And if you want to call any type of handcuff, that would be a fun one. Have Vooch and Drummond on your team.
There you go.
Because now you got, it's almost like you got two starters in that way. It's not just a bench and a starter type thing.
And actually, that might be the case in a lot of leagues. People might have, you know, picked up Drummond when Vooch went down. And then they took our advice and said, don't drop Drummond right away. Let's see how this shakes out. And so they just kept both of them. And that, you know, for anybody who did that, you know, kudos, because that's a smart move. It's working out well. And again, there's a lot of moving parts right now, you know, this close to the trade deadline. Just keep these guys, and as long as they're playing well, just be patient with them. Let's see what happens. Let's see how it plays out. And at any point, you know, if they decide to go more in one direction than the other, then you make an adjustment at that time. You know, if they wind up going back to Vooch in the starting lineup and they wind up going, you know, 30, 35 minutes for him, and they cut back significantly on Drummond, then you just drop Drummond at that point. But until that happens, let's keep him. Let's see what happens and go from there. And then also Zach LaVine, we talked all about him. He's been a giant mess all year. He was dealing with right foot inflammation and a sore right shoulder, but he returned January 5th and he's looked okay. Again, I think they're, you know, we talked all about it. They're kind of taking their time because they had some success with him out of the lineup. And so now with him back, you know, I think they're not wanting to give up on some of these other guys. You know, we've talked about Coby White and the season that he's having.
Yeah. I was going to say, you said I was right about, you know, bringing Vooch off the bench. The one thing I was wrong about so far is Coby White taking a little step back when these guys started returning, and he's still been just fine. Obviously, it's still early and they've just returned, but yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm still going to give you credit for initially selling the fans and our audience on Coby White, because I kind of pushed back a little bit on that initially, because in the past he hasn't had a ton of value across nine categories. He's been more of a points kind of guy, but this year he's turned a corner. He looks amazing. Yeah. And he's a young guy. You know, he's a guy that I think if the Bulls want to start moving in a different direction and heading towards more of like a complete teardown and rebuild, he's one guy that I could see them keeping and kind of building around. So
I agree. I would say, though, also, he's still not like the season. He kind of peaked in November, like early.
He did.
Mid-November. Yeah. And he's come back down, come back to life.
Yes, a little bit.
But that's no knock on him. It was just because he was so extraordinary, way better than we would have ever imagined during that time. So.
But again, I just think with this team, we need to kind of wait and see, especially this close to the trade deadline. You know, if anybody on that team is playing well, just grab them and hold them and let's see what happens. They're due to make some sort of a shakeup here. We'll just have to see what happens.
No.
Another guy that we've been talking all about, DeAndre Ayton. He's still dealing with the right knee tendonitis. He has missed 8 straight games now, and he remains out indefinitely. That's at least what I'm calling him. So at this point,
I'm calling him something else.
Yeah. That's a good call. But yeah, in any case, at this point, we're just going to, you know, toss his name to the side, and you know, we'll let you know when he comes back and if he's doing anything relevant. And again, even if he does, I wouldn't count on that to last. So that team's a disaster. The Blazers, they are heading they're already in a rebuild, so they're another team that any of their veteran guys, you just, you know, use them as long as you can, but don't get too comfortable with them.
Yeah.
And then another set of guys that we've talked a lot about, my boy Tari Eason. I would touch you right now if I could through the mic. He is going to miss his 5th straight game. He's got the lower left leg injury, but you know, he's had a solid season when he's played. You know, per game, he's in the top 100, and yeah,
he was number 42 over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, in the games that he's played. So,
correct, per game.
Yeah, so he's a guy, and we've talked all about his skill set. So, and you know, we talked about Dan Bespris and how he talked about He needs to be playing more and should have played a lot more last year. But even this year, I think once he gets healthy and gets going, I do think there will be a significant ramp up for him. So I like him. I think, you know, if you've got him on an IL spot, don't panic. Don't make one of those panic moves that we talked about earlier. He's the type of guy I could see a lot of people saying, uh-oh, I'm running out of roster spots. I need to drop somebody. He's a guy. Don't make that move. Don't drop him.
Wait.
Just hang on to him. Be patient.
Wait.
You know, again, it's easy to say that. It all depends on your league and your situation. If you're getting desperate as a team and you need bodies that are playing right now, then you got to do what you got to do. But he's a guy that I love. And then a guy, his teammate, who you and I both don't love, can't stand him, quite frankly, is Dylan Brooks. He's still got that strained right oblique. And now they're saying he's considered week to week. Sounds like he's trying to get back to practice, but isn't there yet. And then even when he gets back to practice, he's going to need a lot of time to kind of ramp up. So, again, all the more reason to stay patient with Eason, because as soon as he's able to play, he's going to come back to a situation where Dylan Brooks isn't in his way. And then that's just more opportunities to play. It's higher usage and it leads to better fantasy numbers.
Yeah. That could be fantastic for him.
And sticking with yet another team and player who we've discussed at length, Cade Cunningham of our Detroit Pistons. Unfortunately, he has a strained left knee. He's going to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. We'll get to ads, but this is another situation where pretty much everybody is going to benefit. Anybody who's left standing on the Pistons roster. But again, we've talked all about it. Who is Monty going to actually play? He's been shuffling his entire lineup and, you know, desperation doesn't even begin to describe this team and this situation. And we've talked all about it. So I'm not going to waste too much time talking any more about it unless you got anything to add.
I just did the Pistons, Bogdanovich. I traded him and he's been amazing. He's had a lot of opportunity to shine and he's been doing more than that. I mean, guy's been hitting so many threes a game. So he's been a bright spot, and hopefully that's showcasing him as we need as it goes towards the trade deadline, because it looks great where you should be able to get some value for him.
Yeah. And plus, just on a side note too, like, I'm rooting for him. You know, he's a good guy, and, you know, he plays hard. He's doing everything that he possibly can out there, you know, to help his team win and compete. And, you know, like you said, he's playing really well. He's doing his part. You know, I don't blame him for anything. He's going out there. He's playing hurt. You know, he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's a good guy. I'd like to see him go to a team that can actually compete for something.
For sure. So, yeah, for right now, I'm hurting a little bit since I made that trade and got rid of him, because I'm like, man, I could be using these stats right now. But, yeah, got to look long-term. Long-term. Look down the road, and I assume he'll go somewhere where, yes, he's on a team that's a contending team, where his role and usage will go down a little bit. So,
yep. And then here's another guard injury. Chris Paul, he fractured his left hand. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks, but it sounds like he's going to be out a lot longer than that, so, or could be. And we know, you know, he's older. You know, Father Time, undefeated. And it's been a tough season. You know, he's struggled. He's coming off the bench mostly in Golden State. And
and even more with the return of Draymond Green here soon.
Yep, who I was just about to get to here.
So yeah, and he wasn't, that's kind of where he came when he left. He was able to get in the starting lineup a little bit. And then you got Pajemski and stuff too, his value. And Pajemski, that guy's got a great last name. He should have a podcast.
He should. Exactly. So yeah, you mentioned it. Draymond Green, we talked all about him. He was out with a suspension, but he was officially reinstated by the NBA. He's ramping up to play basically any time. So at this point, I would call him day to day. He's back in practice. He's getting ready, and like we said, they're going to need him. They need his ball handling and playmaking, especially with CP3 going down, and they're running out of time at this point.
It's kind of interesting, because I was just looking at standings and things like that, and I was like, they're running out of time, but they don't have any further to fall. Like, there's Portland, there's San Antonio, and then
that's true.
And I think Memphis is going to join them there and be the third worst team in the West. Yep. And then how many teams are there? 15? So if you're in the top 10 of 12, you're in the play-in,
really
at least,
point.
Right?
That's a really good point. But, you know, they're still going to be competing with those other teams for that 10th spot to get in the play-in.
Very true.
So, you know, they're still going to be, you know, you still can't afford to be too passive or lose too many games, quite frankly. And they've already done that. So they need to not only, you know, tread water, but they need to go on a little bit of a run and give themselves some sort of cushion and just some sort of, like, you know, some
sort
of
kind of feels, sorry, this year kind of, I keep feeling like I'm having deja vus of last year, because I feel like Golden State was in the kind of the same situation last year where they couldn't win on the road, right? And they were only winning at home. They're around 500 or so, and they were staying right at that bottom of the play-in, and then all of a sudden they made a run in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think it's worse now, though, because they have a lot of guys who are struggling, and they can't even blame injuries. Like, they're just not playing well. They're starting to show their age a little bit. And
sure.
Again, Father Time, undefeated. Yeah. So
it's just interesting, the storylines that keep somewhat repeating themselves just in a different way this year. It's cool.
Yep. Some good news, Trey Murphy III for the Pelicans. He was dealing with the sore left knee, but he did return January 5th. And, you know, he's been playing, like, you know, maybe half the games. I think that'll ramp up here, and we'll get to the day-to-day news. But Zion Williamson is day-to-day right now. So, like we said, anytime that he's out, everybody else, at least in terms of fantasy, benefits from that extra usage and touches and all that stuff.
CJ McCollum was already rising, and he's been benefiting even more. So.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, here's some more bad news. This was a big injury here. Jakob Poeltl sprained his left ankle. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but is basically listed as out indefinitely. And that sucks. It sucks for the Raptors. They're another team. A lot of trade rumors. And I don't see those stopping anytime soon. So this is another situation where it's just pretty much anybody in the rotation is worth a flyer. And, you know,
Yeah, and this is funny too, because this is where my whole betting thing went from when I talked about at the top of the show, how I took Siakam for, you know, a decent amount of rebounds. Yeah. Because I thought he was gonna pick up the slack there with Poeltl gone.
Yeah, you would think.
And he didn't. And the whole team rebound RJ Barrett had 10 rebounds yesterday on the 9th. So other quickly had like 5. Other people are picking up these stats that I thought we're going to go to, like Siakam and Barnes. Barnes has been rebounding like shit lately too. So, I don't know. Toronto's in trouble, but as far as, I know we were going to talk about pickups and replacing and people getting better and stuff, but I don't know if anybody really gets that much better in Toronto with him gone.
Not really. I mean, Thad Young started and had a, you know, pretty decent game, but I don't know if I trust him. I mean, he's really old, and
I really thought Boucher was going to start actually, but
they play again tonight. They're on a back to back, so I streamed Boucher last night, January 9th, and I'm keeping him again for tonight's game, the 10th.
Yeah,
and just going to kind of see how he looks and how he does. You know, we've talked all about Boucher. He's a guy that just never. You know, he's got a lot of per minute upside, but he just never gets the minutes. And, you know, different coaching staff, same results. Hopefully that'll change here. You know, Poeltl's going to be out for a while. So they need to get something going here. They're a team that could make another trade, obviously. But, you know, with all their other guys, you know, they traded away Precious Achiuwa. Mm-hmm. So they're running out of bodies. And so they need to give Boucher some of these minutes. You know, if anything happens to Thad Young, Otto Porter's day to day right now. I mean, they just don't have anybody left. So
Not even Christian Coloco at this point.
Yeah. So I like Boucher. I'm gonna hang on to him for a little bit and kind of see how it, you know, pans out. And, you know, if he's just not playing enough, if he's not consistent enough, then, you know, I'll probably make a move off of him. But until that happens, I'm gonna kind of roll the dice here and let's see what happens. And then the last injury news I have, Derek Lively II, he's got a sprained left ankle as well, and he's missed 3 straight games. And he's a guy, we talked all about him. You know, I love him. You know, I love his fit with Dallas, but, you know,
I finally dropped him. I couldn't
take it
anymore.
It's just, same. And it just, you know, too inconsistent. And that team is just becoming a giant mess. You know, we've talked about pretty much their entire rotation. And, you know, we talked about how I was really high on Grant Williams before the start of the season. I thought he was a really good pickup for them. I thought he made a lot of sense. I thought they were excited to use him, and he started the season really well. And now they're not even playing him, and it's just a mess. So it's hard to really trust or rely on anybody on that team, not named Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving. And even those guys, we said.
I was going to say, even those guys are hard to trust.
Yeah, they're going to be in and out of the lineup, you know. So, yeah, it's just becoming a situation to avoid. And like you said, if you've got Lively, you know, maybe just move off of them and,
you know I think
that spot to stream.
I was going to say, what really made it easy to get off of Lively was when I added Hartenstein, because Robinson went down. And then I
no brainer.
I also added Zubats, who's been great lately. And then obviously I made some trades and things like that, Walker Kessler. So I got a bunch of big guys. So I'm not missing Lively or anything. But I just I know we both like him. I think he's got a bunch of potential, but he's just got to stay out there and get consistent.
Yeah. I just have a few quick transactions that I wanted to mention. Former Piston Hamidou Diallo signed a 10-day contract with the Wizards. And in doing so, they waived Detroiter Ryan Rollins. So here's to hoping that Rollins can find another team and
or his way onto our podcast for an interview.
Yeah. There you go. There's another opportunity there. And I was going to say, too, if anything else, you know, maybe he could join the Motor City Cruise G League and we can go see him.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
We could do an in-person interview.
I know. I was trying to get down there this week, I think it was, but things got in the way.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens. And then a guy we talked about, Taj Gibson, he had signed with the Knicks when they ran into all those injuries, you know, but now they're starting to get some guys back. And like we said, they traded for Achiuwa, so they didn't need Taj Gibson anymore, so they waived him. there's talk that he might join their coaching staff. So we'll have to see. He might be done. Maybe he gets picked up somewhere, but if not, I'm guessing this is probably it for him. And if so, he's had a hell of a career, and he's a guy that, you know, I have to commend, because, you know, you always look at these guys when they get drafted, and it's like, okay, you know, are they a lottery pick or not? And if they're a lottery pick, they're supposed to be stars. You know, sometimes you can have a great career without being a star player. You just star in your role. And that's exactly what Taj Gibson has done. And that's why he's maintained so much value. And you know, for us, you know, we keep talking about the Pistons. We're Pistons fans. We're here in Detroit. You know, sometimes these guys just don't pan out as stars or as like marquee players, as like guys that you build around, but they can still go on and have a good career. They just need to get the right fit and be with a team that's going to, you know, look at them the way that they need to be looked at and treated the way they need to be treated. So,
yeah, we've had a lot of those guys leave here.
We have leave, and we might have some right now too. So, yeah. We just got to be careful with that. So, real quick day-to-day list here. We've got Kristaps Porzingis, Jaren Jackson Jr., Clint Capella, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, PJ Washington Jr. We mentioned Zion Williamson and Cole Anthony. All of them are day-to-day right now. We'll have to see what happens with them. Hopefully nothing too major. And then, like I said, in terms of ads, like I mentioned, pretty much any Piston at this point, because, you know, Cade Cunningham, with him being out, plenty of usage to go around. On the flip side, though, I don't trust anybody on this team, so I'm not running out to grab any of them. If you're completely out of options and you're streaming, I mean, you can pick one of them up, but I'm not excited about anybody on this team. And then with Halliburton going down, like we mentioned, all the Pacers, you know, pretty much any and all of them, you know, they're all worth a look. It's probably going to be a situation where it winds up being kind of a timeshare and nobody really benefits in terms of like extra minutes. But we'll see, you know, and if you've got an open spot and you are streaming, you're adding different players every single day, you can pick one of these guys up and just see what happens. Like you said, you added TJ McConnell. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect, you know, example of just pick him up, see what he does, you know, take the numbers that he gives you. And if it's good enough to hold, cool. But if not, you just move on. And that's all you can do. And then we mentioned with Toronto, I like Chris Boucher, but we need to see if the minutes, you know, can move up a little bit and just get more consistent. And then Thad Young, I mean, as long as he's healthy and, you know, if he's starting, you know, he's a guy you can at least throw out there when he's playing and just, again, just kind of see what happens. And then one more guy that I want to mention real quick. I'm not the biggest fan of his, but Trey Jones, I just want to give him credit. He's starting right now, at least for the Spurs at point guard. And he started for them pretty much all of last season. He wasn't all that good last year. And we've talked all about how much of a mess their rotation is and how they just keep shifting people in and out of the lineup. But right now he's hot. And if he's out there, he's a guy you can at least stream and see how long this hot streak continues. But he's not a guy that I trust, and I don't think this is going to last.
Yeah, as far as me pickups, I think they're all pretty just obvious ones. If this is not a pickup, and that's in Orlando, Caleb Houston. You mentioned Cole Anthony on the day-to-day list. Caleb Houston's had, out of his last four games, he's had two great games out of four. So he's just a flash in the pan right now if you need somebody for a day.
They still have so many guards.
Yeah.
Just so many. It's a crapshoot. So I
hit some threes, score some points, and if, like I said, if you got an open spot one day.
Yeah, especially if it's a lighter, you know, lighter slate of games and Orlando's one of the only few teams playing, then sure. You know, and if it's DFS, you know, whatever. But yeah.
But yeah, Chris Dunn in Utah's had some sort of little resurgence here in the last week.
Utah, same thing. Utah and Orlando, like same exact situation. Just it's going to be crapshoot.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anybody. There wasn't really anybody on my list that I was like, oh man, this is like, you know, must have. McConnell was the one guy that I was like, yeah, I'm definitely taking a shot on him if he's available. Last week I had mentioned Kelly Olynyk. I mean, he's just kind of humming along doing the same stuff. So
yeah. Again, with the Memphis situation with John Morant, I do think Luke Kennard is a pickup at this point. I think his value goes up. He's been pretty solid, and I think he's going to start doing even more. Because, you know, he's a guy that's on a decent contract, you know, so I think even if they go into somewhat of a, you know, rebuild kind of, you know, direction, I think he's a guy that as long as he's healthy, I think they'll use him, you know, and just kind of get a good look at him and see, you know, but he's played well for them. I keep saying, you know, he had a really good year last year down the stretch. He played really well. So he's a guy I like. I think he's a guy you can pick up and probably even hold for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the last guy, obviously, I mentioned already during the podcast earlier was Xavier Tillman. So keep your eye out for him. Let's see.
Yes. Xavier Tillman. Absolutely.
Yep. So I think that just about does it. I don't know. I don't have anything random to say. Just shout out Devin Vassell's having a quality couple weeks here. He's been looking pretty good. I think he's number nine in per game over the last 2 weeks. I always looking at over the last 2 weeks. I like to look at that stat.
Yeah, me
see
too.
How that looks. Victor's been up there, number five over the last 2 weeks. So, you know, what's really impressing me all year still is the Clippers just in a whole is what's impressing me. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George are still top guys, probably what first second rounders. It's amazing that they put it together. They got something going. I hope it continues because somewhere deep down inside, I want to see the Clippers win.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Ballmer, you know, he's an easy guy to root for. You know, we've given Mark Cuban a lot of credit on this pod, and Steve Ballmer is another guy I really like, you know, just a passionate owner. He's at all the games. He's fired up. Those are the guys that are easy to root for, and, you know, I'm jealous that we don't have an owner like that here in Detroit, at least for our basketball team.
It's much agreed. I think I can't remember where I was talking about this, but actually, you know what? It might've been through one of our friend text strings or something, but I brought up, you know, Bob Myers of the Warriors, built the Warriors dynasty, yep. Right? Going to the Washington Commanders to help them out. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what these guys should do. You can, so like Magic Johnson, right? He's part owner of the Commanders. There's all these other guys. So he knows basketball, right? But he may not know everything he wants to know about basketball. They got other owners that are, I can think of so many football owners that are, you know, just businessmen. And go bring in some guy that knows basketball to run your organization and let them run it. That's all. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we talked a little bit about Tom Gores and how he's kind of done that, and maybe at times he's done it a little too much. I mean, it's tough. You got to get the right people, and it's got to be the right mix, and obviously that just hasn't happened yet. But
yep.
Time to go, Maryland.
But yeah, I think that does it for today. As always, please go on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're listening to us. Go ahead and give us a review, give us some stars, send us some comments, let us know what you think. Hopefully you're enjoying Menace Podman as much as we are recording it every week. So yeah, I think that does everything. You can find us on Twitter, on X, at Menace Podman. And we thank you for listening to another week of Menace Podman. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money. Hello.
Miss Putman.